Is the worst of the Colts season behind them, or is Patrick Mahomes about to make it a whole lot worse? All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. This is Jake Arthur alongside Zach Hicks once again. You know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com. The pair of us are glad to be back with you today after Thursday's crossover episode. If you didn't check that out yet, we talked with Chris Clark from Locked On Chiefs, so that was a good one. Be sure to check that out. But on today's episode, we're going to discuss what changes the Colts might want to make in their lineup in order to turn this whole thing around. I'm also going to throw Zach some either-ors that he hasn't heard yet, so we'll see how he thinks on his feet there. And then we're going to give you our final thoughts, predictions, takes on this Sunday's game. We'll go ahead and start out with the injury report, though. That's always very important, obviously. So DeForest Buckner was upgraded today to full with his hip injury. I don't think we ever thought he'd be in danger of not playing, but since he hasn't really looked like himself, it's noteworthy. Yannick Ngakoue was the only player who got downgraded. He went from limited on Wednesday to did not practice on Thursday. He's got a back injury, so that definitely bears monitoring, considering he's their top exterior pass rusher for sure. Michael Pittman Jr. has been limited both days. We really don't know what to think on if he plays or not. And the same can kind of be said for Shaquille Leonard. He's still full, but when he talked to the media, just how I digested his language, how he used it, I don't feel super optimistic. Because it doesn't sound like they're there where they want to be yet. It sounds like they're still progressing, but not there. That's just kind of how I took it. Alec Pierce also logged another full session. So as far as I know, he just has to get cleared by the independent neurologist, and he should be good to go.
Yeah, I would guess Alec Pierce ends up playing this week. But Michael Pittman Jr. and Shaquille Leonard, I don't know. Personally, I'm not feeling great about either of those guys playing in this one. Just from some of their comments today and stuff like that, you know, they could surprise. You know, Michael Pittman Jr. I think is probably more likely to end up playing. But, I don't know that one. Those are interesting injuries because, you know, both those guys missed the game against the Chiefs. You know, the 1% chance that they actually have to win this game might go down even further. So,
yeah.
But, you know, Alec Pierce coming back, you know, there we go. That's all we need.
That could be good. Yeah, because that's the thing. I was thinking with Michael Pittman Jr. and Alec Pierce, both of them being really good in the contested catch game, that's where Mike Williams got the Chiefs last week. That could be a little fold the Colts might want to look there. But, shoot, yeah, it's the next thing I wanted to get to. You put out a piece today on horseshoehuddle.com. Some lineup changes that the Colts might want to look into in order to just get some footing and start moving in the right direction a little bit. First up, what you had was play Isaiah Rodgers Sr. more on defense, which any action is an upgrade over what he has had, which is zero defensive snaps.
Yeah, I'm going to say my thing wasn't play him more on defense. It was play him.
Play him.
Zero snaps so far on defense this season through two games. And honestly, when Gus Bradley was talking about it the other day, it still didn't seem like Gus Bradley kind of gave a very roundabout answer about it. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we definitely want to get him out there more maybe this week when they have more five wide receiver sets. And it's like, he shouldn't have to wait for that. Like Isaiah Rodgers showed last year that he's a good young corner who is kind of a playmaker. You know, he made a lot of big time plays on the ball in the preseason. He made a great interception as well. We've seen this with Isaiah Rodgers now for a couple seasons. And, you know, I'm not saying that he needs to get starter snaps or even start over Brandon Faison, but it doesn't make any sense to me why he's not at least getting like 15 to 20 defensive snaps a game. And for a team where through 2 weeks now, they only have one turnover. And honestly, I mean, it seemed more like a fluky play that they even got that turnover. You know, it wasn't someone making a great play. It was just a guy not picked up in the blitz and a fumble. They really need someone like Isaiah Rodgers out there who can make plays on the ball, who can create momentum shifting turnovers. So I don't know why he's not playing whatsoever right now. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that's the easiest move the Colts could make to add some spark to this defense.
I think especially when you consider Shaquille Leonard's not out there, who is he's their turnover machine, and Kenny Moore is not doing his thing. Mm-hmm. You got to have someone spark that defense and get those turnovers, because that's what this defense has been best at the last couple years for the most part. Your next topic was bring more Ashton Doolin and less Paris Campbell. This is an interesting one because I'm kind of the thought that I just think Campbell needs more targets. Right. But what are you seeing on the film that's indicating that needs to be the switch?
Yeah. So to start, I mean, I don't think Paris Campbell's playing poorly at all. He's just not getting targeted. He's being used a lot as a decoy. But to me, I mean, Paris Campbell's playing nearly 100% of the snaps through 2 weeks. You know, there's 114 snaps. That's a lot of snaps out there. And we're not really seeing much production. We are seeing some struggles in run blocking too, and some struggles on the screen game. Like I think he had a penalty in the red zone in this past game on a screen pass and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm not saying that he needs to get significantly less snaps. I'm just saying Campbell getting almost 100% of the snaps and Doolin, who's producing and playing really well right now, only sitting at 64 through two games right now. I just want to see that kind of getting a little bit closer. Because Ashton Doolin right now, I mean, Pro Football Focus has him as the 18th highest rated receiver according to grades this year. He's actually the highest rated Colts player on offense right now according to Pro Football Focus. He leads the team in receiving yards. Obviously, that's with Michael Pittman Jr. missing last week. But he's been a steady player. And honestly, he made a lot of big catches this last game. And he's the highest rated or second highest rated run blocker at wide receiver in the NFL by Pro Football Focus as well. So Doolin's playing pretty well through 2 weeks. I was really impressed by some of the things he did this past game. And I just kind of want to see him get more snaps. And I think Paris Campbell's just the guy that he can siphon some snaps off. That's kind of where the Paris Campbell thing came in there. I didn't think Campbell's playing well, but I just want to see a little bit more Doolin.
That makes sense. It does make a lot of sense. It's, you know, it's a shallow receiver group, and he's actually contributing to it. You also add more snaps for Nyheim Hines. That's something we pound the table for all the time.
Yeah, we talk about this one all the time. I don't know. I just don't get when you have like a clear deficiency in skill position player, especially when Michael Pittman Jr. was out this past week. Mm-hmm. Why are you not playing one of your most dynamic players more? Like, I don't care how the game plan got away from you, and I don't care. I know you have Jonathan Taylor, you know, but you can get Hines out there in other ways. It's just inexcusable that he has, I think, 45 offensive snaps through two games, which is pretty close to what Mike Strawn has. And honestly, Des Patman outsnapped him this past game as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, is your offense really better with those guys out there compared to maybe Hines in the slot or even Hines out wide? Who's the bigger threat to a defense? I really do think it's Nyheim Hines right now. So they really need to find a way to get him out there more, especially when they are paying him a decent amount just to sit on the bench for a lot of these games. And, you know, he's producing when he's out there. So, yeah, get Nyheim Hines out there a little bit more and get the ball in his hands.
That one is truly inexplicable to me. Next up, Dio Odengbo and Tyquan Lewis over Yannick Ngakoue in the base defense, or at least more often, not overall.
Right. Yeah, what we're seeing a lot of is Yannick Ngakoue is playing so much, and maybe that's why he landed on the injury report this week. I mean, he is playing a ton of snaps. Something I thought was interesting when I was researching was Yannick Ngakoue he's the 10th most snaps among all edge defenders this year in run defense. So he's been out there for a ton of rushing plays. And while the Colts run defense has been good this year, he's graded really poorly. I mean, again, Pro Football Focus has him with a 29 grade right now in run defense, which
that's awful.
Is putrid. Putrid. I'm not saying they're end all be all, but like it's pretty indicative of, you know, they're usually good ballpark numbers right there. So I think getting more Dio Dambo out there in general, but also there at defensive end and Tyquan Lewis there in base defense can help improve the Colts run game a little, run defense a little bit better even. And also it could probably help on some of those play action plays and stuff like that where Ngakoue is really struggling.
Yeah, I hope it's not one of those things, because it comes back to the Isaiah Rodgers thing, is I hope Bradley gets a little more open-minded as the season goes. And it's not such a stubborn thing of, I like these guys. I've had them before. They're my guys. I'm riding them. Like,
right.
There needs to be more rotation. And your last group was Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter out. Bernard Raimann and Will Fries in.
Yeah, I think this is the most unlikely of all the ones I mentioned in there. I do think eventually we could see Bernard Raimann working in at left tackle full time over Matt Pryor, but this was kind of something, again, we talked about on last show that we were together, where they kind of missed their chance in the offseason to really rotate these guys with the first team. They kind of pigeonholed themselves into Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter because they were the only guys who got the first team reps really all summer. But I do think if these struggles continue, a change needs to be made. You know, Will Fries did a lot of good things in the preseason to where he looked like a good pass blocker. I know it's a preseason, but there were some good signs there. Bernard Raimann in the snaps that he has played has looked better than Matt Pryor at left tackle. So they have options if this continues to fail with those two out there. And I'm not putting all of the offensive line blame on those guys, but they are the two most replaceable guys and they have capable guys behind them that they can put in there.
Yeah, they're not so far deep into the season where a change can't happen. And, you know, they have a late bye week, so they'll probably want to look to do it sooner rather than later. Obviously, the guys we've talked about bring the Colts some sort of insurance, but how's your insurance doing? These guys at Brightco are geniuses. They made buying insurance for your engagement ring, your watch, or whatever so dang easy that you can get it covered in 2 minutes on your cell phone. You won't find a better deal on great coverage that's super affordable like they are. We all hate insurance, right? These guys at Brightco turn the whole experience around, so it's probably the easiest thing that you can do for yourself this week. No excuses, man. For $5 a month, you get totally comprehensive coverage. Check it out, bright.co/lockedon. They've got a bunch of videos, too, to prove what can happen when things go wrong and you maybe lose your precious jewels and don't have insurance. Check them out at bright.co/lockedon. All right, Zach, I've got some either ors for you. This is basically either this or this, what is going to contribute heavier to a Colts win against the Chiefs? If it's going to happen, I know neither of us really think it's going to happen, but if they're going to do it,
so in these either ors, are we saying that, but in this scenario, both happen and I'm picking which one helps lead to victory more or which one's more likely to happen?
Yes. Which matters more towards the Colts winning?
Okay. All right.
They're mostly stat-based, but there's another that's not. So first up, either Matt Ryan throws for 350 yards or Jonathan Taylor runs for 125.
Well, there is that crazy stat where Jonathan Taylor over 100 yards rushing. There's a lot of wins. I don't think there's many losses. Now there's one tie added to that.
But yeah, if he hits 160, you can tie now.
But no, it's obviously the passing yards. You want, you know, it's a passing league, and to compete with Kansas City and Pat Mahomes, you're going to want to kind of keep up with them. So I think Matt Ryan having a huge day, 350 yards passing, would be pretty indicative the Colts kept it close or that they at least were competitive. Now, which one do I think is more likely? Probably Jonathan Taylor hitting 125. Yeah. But I think, you know, in a perfect world, Matt Ryan's, you know, slings it all afternoon and they look great in the passing game and they're able to kind of keep it close with this really good Chiefs team.
I was going to put it at 150 for Taylor, but I thought that might make it seem a little more obvious that if he goes for 150, they've been cruising and crushing with him. But
yeah,
I think you're right. If Ryan's up there around the 350 range, it probably is an indicator of more of a shootout. Now, this is if Michael Pittman Jr. plays, either he gets 100 yards or the Colts start using Kylan Granson as part of a game plan and he gets 80 yards.
Kylan Granson getting 80 yards on 25 targets because he's dropping 10 of them. I mean, obviously, I think it's obviously Michael Pittman Jr. getting 100 yards. But again, which one's more likely? Probably Granson, because I don't know if Pittman Jr. plays this week.
No, but if Granson gets 80 yards, it probably means he's been part of the game plan and they're going over the middle. You know, Willie Gay is going to be out with the suspension. If they actually unlock that part of the offense, because they haven't really been using tight ends outside of trying to claw back into games, does that matter to you at all?
I think it does. But again, I feel more confident in Michael Pittman Jr. getting to that 100 on a couple of targets where Kylan Granson's probably taking a few more targets to get to that 80.
Yeah.
So more efficient offense would probably be Michael Pittman Jr. going for 100. But I mean, either of these would be great. It means that the Colts are actually moving the ball in the passing game, unlike this past week where you know, they kind of moved it in garbage time at the very end, but that was really it. So yeah, either one of these I think would be great. But I do think probably more likely is honestly Granson, because I don't know if Pittman Jr. is actually going to play this week.
Right. And like I mentioned earlier, I can't say it yet with Alec Pierce, because he has a grand total of zero catches. I mean, he did miss last week's game, but man, how him and Pittman can attack those contested catches. When I was just watching Mike Williams do what he did last week, I was like, oof, the Colts have the recipe if they can do it. Like, they have that type of guy. But yeah, we'll see. Next up, either DeForest Buckner gets 3 combined sacks or tackles for loss, or Stephon Gilmore gets 2 picks.
2 picks. Easy.
Yeah.
You need the turnovers. You need the turnovers in this one. Now, don't get me wrong, DeForest Buckner getting the sacks would be amazing. But the Colts have the Colts' recipe for success last season was having a historically great rushing attack, a volatile but sometimes good passing game, and a defense that caused so many turnovers. So there's just so many opportunities for this offense to get it right and put up points. If you're going to beat a team like Kansas City, you need to bring back that turnover heavy defense, you know? So Stephon Gilmore getting 2 picks or even 1 pick in this game, you know, that can be a game changing play. I mean, we saw this past week with the Chiefs versus the Chargers win that game. If Asante Samuel Jr. comes down with like one of those 4 interceptions that he dropped, like,
yeah,
they definitely win that game if he comes down with 1 or 2 of those, you know? So turnovers are king in the NFL. We've seen the Colts get beat because they're turning the ball over a lot this season. So I think, you know, getting back on the board with their defense, getting some turnovers again, that would be a game changer for them. So yeah, easily Stephon Gilmore getting 2 picks.
Yeah, I was interested to see your take on that one, since that would mean Buckner has obviously flipped the switch and come alive this season and providing some sort of interior push. But no, I think you're right. They're going to have to get some takeaways. They'll have to take advantage of Kansas City's mistakes, and any gift they can be given, they've got to get it. Last up, either Shaquille Leonard plays or Yannick Ngakoue plays. Now, keep it in mind, Shaquille Leonard, this would be his first game in the system. Very rusty, obviously, I'm sure.
Right.
So which one would weigh heavier?
I think Shaquille Leonard. You want him out there. I mean, honestly, so far this year, Yannick Ngakoue has been an absolute bust of a trade. And I'm not saying it's going to stay that way the whole year. You know, he's had some decent flashes here, but for the most part, you haven't really noticed him on the field. You know, there's been some liability. He's been kind of a liability in run defense, and pass rushing, he's kind of been adequate at best. You know, I mean, that's probably me being a little generous. On the other hand, though, these backup linebackers filling in for Shaquille Leonard have been good in run defense, but they've been pretty bad in pass. Now, Bobby Okereke turned it around this past week. I actually was pretty impressed with him in film, but EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin right now are really, really struggling in pass coverage. They're just not picking up the scheme. They're missing assignments. So even Shaquille Leonard in his first game back, like, even if he's just as bad as them in pass coverage, just having the chance of him getting a punch out, I think makes him infinitely more valuable than Yannick Ngakoue or these backup linebackers. So, obviously, you would want Shaquille Leonard back for this one, but again, I don't know how likely that is. It seems like he's still probably another game or two away.
Yeah, at this point, it almost seems unlikely that either of them play. You know, the second day of the week, one of them getting downgraded, it doesn't seem great. We saw that with Pittman last week.
Right.
That's the only one I got. Those are the only ones I got for you so far. Injuries kind of throw a wrench into this thing right now.
Yeah, no, I really wouldn't bet on either of those guys playing this week, or, you know, I wouldn't bet on them even having a huge impact. But, you know, if you guys are into some betting, betonline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's Week 3 slate of games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and even golf. The Colts are 5.5-point underdogs with an over-under of 50.5 points this weekend, guys. How do you feel about that? Are you feeling the Colts, like the Colts will bounce back? Are you feeling pretty confident the Chiefs win by more than 5.5? You know, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Jake, do we have any closing words or any predictions or anything about this matchup? I think we've talked about it quite a bit this week that we're not feeling super confident going into this one.
As much as I mean, I'd like to think I usually lean more on the optimistic side of it. I look more towards what we've seen guys or teams do before and think they can still do it. But this one is I just don't have a great feeling about it. Like, I know a lot of Chiefs people have this marked as a trap game, which it sucks for the Colts to even be considered a trap game now. Like, that's how you know you've fallen far. But yeah, just Gus Bradley's track record against Patrick Mahomes stinks. It's not great. I mean, Mahomes has a ton of experience from the Raiders times with Bradley and the Chargers. God, I don't feel great. I like that it's at home. I like that Pittman and Pierce are trending in the right direction. But I just don't know that the Colts have the firepower to hang with Mahomes. If the line was playing better, I would feel better again. But there's just too many fundamental things going not well.
Yeah. I guess for me to kind of swing it a little optimistic here before I bring it all back down to earth with my prediction. Yeah. being a little optimistic, like I've kind of said a lot this week, is that the Colts traditionally with Frank Reich, they do struggle with teams like the Jaguars because they're expected to win. You know, there's expectations. This team struggles when there's expectations, but when they're the underdog, when nobody expects anything of them, they do come out and throw some haymakers. I mean, they've done that a lot with Frank Reich. Again, 2020, they had a huge comeback against the Green Bay Packers in the second half, and they beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The playoff game in 2020 against the Buffalo Bills, the 2-seeded Buffalo Bills, they had every chance to win that game. And they took the Bills to the wire that year. Last year, again, that Cardinals game keeps coming to mind where they had no business being in that one, but they came out and just outplayed a playoff team. So I do think Frank Reich does a good job when it comes to our backs against the wall and, you know, we're going to go down fighting. So I do think that is a good, sign for the Colts in this one where everyone's counting them out, including all of us, like even the most optimistic fan is counting them out. So I do think that, you know, that's something that bodes well for them. And then the other thing is, I know we've said all week the Chiefs are this like great team, and they are a really good team. Again, Pat Mahomes and a really good offensive line and a defense that I think has kind of been underrated the last couple of years. But I don't think this is the Chiefs team of the last couple of years. You know, I don't think that they're as dominant. Again, it's early in the season. They might prove to be better than a lot of these Chiefs teams, but not having Tyreek Hill, you know, it makes things a lot different. You know, Tyreek Hill is a huge difference maker and one of the best players in all of football. So now without that aspect in the offense, I do think they're a little bit more vulnerable. We saw a lot of that last week against the Chargers where, yes, the Chargers have a good defense, probably a better defense than the Colts right now. But they had a lot of success and Pat Mahomes had a lot of mistakes where, again, they capitalize on some of those mistakes. We're talking about the Chargers being the front runners in the AFC West right now, and the Chiefs coming off a bad loss. So I do think they're a little more vulnerable than in years past. Now, do I think that means the Colts win this game with their issues that they're currently going into this game with? No, but I could see an avenue where this game is closer than we expect because of those factors I just mentioned. The Colts do well with their backs against the wall, and the Chiefs, you know, I don't think they're this, you know, crazy fortress that they used to be. But ultimately, I think the Chiefs do pull away. I do think they put up a lot of points on this defense that, especially if Shaquille Leonard is out, I think these linebackers are just going to be tortured all game long. So I think my prediction, I go with like 41-24 Chiefs. I think the Colts offense bounces back a little bit. The O-line has a little bit of a resurgence and Matt Ryan moves the ball a little bit. But I really don't trust this defense, especially, again, if Shaquille Leonard's out and Yannick Ngakoue are both out and Buckner's still a little bit limited, I really don't know how they're going to do anything against this Chiefs offense.
Yeah, they can be so hamstrung by just that one unit. We just saw it happen. The Jaguars always seem to just torture them up front, though. So that's
right.
I mean, I have faith the Colts can have a little easier time against the Chiefs, although they have Chris Jones, who's an outstanding player.
Right.
But no, my final prediction is 34-20 Chiefs. I do, like you said, I think the Colts, their offense will come back a little bit. 20 is not a lot of points, but it's more than zero, like last week. But I do, this defense has been okay sometimes, but I don't think they haven't shown enough to say that they'll hold Kansas City under 30. So that's why I think it lands at 34-20. The Colts need a lot to go their way in order to win this game. And I think that's a big ask considering what the Chiefs are capable of doing. So I have it as a 2-score game, and I'm not going to bury the Colts. Like I have talked about throughout the week how I think there's chances they could win. There's avenues for that to happen. But just the realistic side of it, like gun to my head, I think the Chiefs win semi-comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if they drop this game, I know we're looking kind of ahead here, but if they drop this one, which they probably do, how important is that Titans game in week 4? I mean, that's like do or die, basically.
At least it's at home and they can beat the Titans at home. I mean, it's a Titans team without AJ Brown. And I mean, Derrick Henry doesn't look like Derrick Henry right now. So, I mean, it's a very winnable game, but make no mistake, the Titans are still, they still got some good players on that roster.
This could be the battle between the two worst teams in the AFC South in week 4. but no, I mean, getting back to this Chiefs game again, I just think it's just gonna be a tough go for the Colts. This is the perfect chance for things to start getting on track for the offense, because they're gonna have a lot of chances to throw the ball because they'll probably be down quite a bit early. So the offense, like, I can feel decent coming out of this game if the offense has figured something out. You know, if the offense is kind of moved, even if Michael Pittman Jr. misses another game, if the offense just shows they can move the ball and the O-line like shows a little bit of an improvement from this past game, I can go out of this game feeling confident going into week 4 against the Titans, knowing that, you know, the worst case scenario happened and they're still right there in the AFC South. So all is not lost. The Colts are definitely not completely out on this season right now, but I do think this is a huge week, especially for the Colts offense to show that they have any kind of life or any kind of chemistry right now.
Mm-hmm. And something I've been looking at matchup wise that kind of, it gives me comfort, honestly, is that the Chiefs' best pass rusher is an interior guy, which obviously makes it a little more difficult to get through. They were just the Josh Allen and Trevon Walker and those guys, just the pure speed and athleticism. For the Chiefs, Mike Dana may not play. We'll see what he's looking like on the injury report. He's one of their top three rotational guys. I think the Colts, again, we've given our advice before. They don't seem to take it.
No.
I mean, obviously there's max protection things they could do. But I feel better about them facing this pass rush than I did last week's. So yeah.
Except when it's Danny Pinter on Chris Jones.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Or whenever there's a stunt up front, the Colts offensive line can't block that. They have no clue what they're doing against stunts. But
yeah, that's called shotgun all day with Jonathan Taylor as your bodyguard.
I'm just, you know, quick note on the offensive line. I'm just so confused why the offensive line this year against like I know a lot of people are like, oh, there's two new starters, so it's tough for them to get the chemistry with the stunts and stuff. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Last year, I mean, I know Mark Glinski started the season, but Chris Reed played a lot. And Chris Reed was a new starter when he was in there. Eric Fisher was a new starter. Julian Davenport was a new starter. And even when all those guys were shuffling around and out there a lot, like, they didn't have this many issues with stunts. I don't know why this year, like, these guys just cannot figure it out whatsoever. So, again, this is a huge week for this offensive line because, honestly, watching the film, I don't think the offense is in a horrible, horrible place. I think the offensive line is in a horrible, horrible place. Mm-hmm. I think once that offensive line, it just becomes like league average or like just figures it out a little bit, the offense will be moving the ball a lot better. It's just right now that offensive line is a train wreck, and I don't know when it's going to get better, if it's going to get better.
Well, here's to train wrecks.
Train wrecks.
That's it for us today, everyone. Check in with us after the game. We'll, of course, bring you our instant reactions to either a Colts win or loss, or maybe even a tie. We have seen that
just tie the rest of the season.
Wouldn't that be dope, though?
0-1-16. There we go.
Unprecedented. Unprecedented.
Oh, man. Make sure you guys follow us on social media at JakeArthurNFL on Twitter, at Zach Hicks 2, and at LockedOnColts, all on Twitter. That's where we're mostly going to be posting, guys. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube. You guys have been awesome with all the comments there. As Jake said the other day, the comments are bussing over there. I think that's what you said. Right?
They're popping. They're popping. Lit, fam.
They are lit, fam. They are on fire. Wherever you guys listen to the podcast, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. And thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys Sunday. Mwah.